Because it is good to be with you all this morning. I hope everyone had a good Christmas. Yes. Yes. And even if you didn't, we've made it through. I don't know, I'm thankful to be home. We had a very full couple weeks and lots of travel. It was great, but exhausting, and now we're home, and I am very thankful for that. So we're going to jump right in to our scripture passage for today. This comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 1. That's not true. Gospel of John, chapter 15, and this is verses 9 through 17. So I'm going to invite you to read this along with me. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone would lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you so that you will love one another. Amen. Well, this week after Christmas, even though it's still the Christmas season, we tend to turn our attention now toward the new year. Maybe we take a deep breath, sigh of relief. Maybe it's a moment of reflection on 2019 and the year that we had and all that happened. And usually most of us now look forward to 2020, the new year, maybe new hopes and goals. Or maybe you're also like me and still trying to figure out where 2019 went. How is it already time for a new year? But maybe in this reflection for you, it's, I don't know what kind of year it's been, maybe good, maybe bad, maybe we've learned a lot. My guess is that for most of us, whether it's been seasons of difficulty or seasons of a lot of joy and new beginnings, we've all probably had a mix of both in 2019, a mix of both in all kinds of seasons. So I'm wondering right here in the beginning, just to invite you into a moment of reflection, to think for a moment, and if you could sum up the year 2019 in one word, what would it be? Only one word. What would it be if you could sum it up? Change. And if anyone's feeling bold, change. If anyone's feeling bold to share their word, Daryl says change. Marie says growth. Opportunity. Challenging. Recovery. Recovery. Amen.
Peace.
Goodness. Joy. Good words. You know, this week it got me thinking of how we sum up or how we mark, how we measure a year. Matt and I really like to travel, so it used to be that we would measure it based on all the places that we went. We would schedule fall trips and spring break trips, and we would go. Now with Logan, our toddler tornado, we don't quite pick up and go like we used to. And now we mark a year, a lot of it based on him and his development. Was he walking yet, or was he running? Was he? That's where we are in this season of life. But it just got me thinking this week of how we measure a year in the life. Anyone singing Rent yet in their head? Yes, there we go, over there. So Matt got me the Idina Menzel Christmas album this year, and as we were, you know, listening to it on the way to Christmas, Seasons of Love came on. I was surprised. I didn't expect it to be on her Christmas album. But if you don't know this song, it invites you to measure. It asks this question: how do we measure a year in the life? In daylight, in sunsets, in midnights, in cups of coffee. I would love to know how many cups of coffee I had in 2019. Ooh, maybe that would be a goal for 2020 to cut it down. In inches and miles and laughter and strife, 525,600 minutes. How do you measure a year in the life. And of course, this song is inviting us to measure it in love. Seasons of love with family and friends. This is so lovely. And what a good goal. You know, sort of along the lines of all you need is love. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. And this is true. I think we could all agree that that's what the world needs. But there's a tendency to oversimplify or over-sentimentalize, right? Or gloss over that, you know, the world also needs some justice and some mercy. And that follows very closely to the understanding of the love of God that we as Christians hold on to. It's this notion of love that's thrown around so freely in all of its forms, right? I love my husband. I love my son. I love the beach. I also love tacos, all in very different ways. There are lots of different types of love. And I think that notion can be just sort of oversimplified or tossed around very easily. So in the midst of all these definitions, we must constantly remember and remind ourselves as followers of Christ that we are called to a deeper sense of love. We are called to a deeper sense beyond euphoria or friendly sentiment or just loving people that we like, loving people that are easy to love. No, we as followers of Jesus Christ are called to a cruciform love, a love marked by service and sacrifice after the pattern and example of Jesus Christ. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. This is the model of love that we are called to. The example, of course, an archetype that we have of this kind of love is Christ, but it's fully seen within the inner life of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The love among the persons of the Trinity helps us to understand that wonderful love, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So in the midst of all these different types of love, the Greek word that's actually used here in our passage is agape. It's agape. That is the highest form of love or charity that originates from God, the unconditional love that God has for humanity and the love that we can experience and have for God as well. That's the amazing part of all of this, this unconditional agape love that God has for us. We actually get to experience and participate in. Love in this sense is a theological virtue. For us as followers of Christ, it's a theological virtue, an excellence of character that God has by nature, but that we're invited to participate in by grace. Such love, I love this part, is primarily interested in the good of the other person rather than one's own. It does not attempt to possess or dominate the other. And this is the example of love we see among the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the inner life of God, the love among the persons of the Trinity that helps us to understand what wondrous love this truly is. It's a love that's concerned about the other. It's a love that is not possessive or subordinating, and a love that does not demand its own way, a love that does not make ourselves better than others, assume that we are better than others. It's a love that allows genuine space for the other to be. I love that. Allows genuine space for the other to be. And it's abundant, super abundant, such that it can be offered without reserve. This is a love within the Trinity that's never ending, always revolving, always moving, always united and bound together in love. How great the Father's love for us. How vast beyond all measure. So I'd like to invite the worship team up at this time. We're going to enter back into a moment of worship as we just marvel at the goodness and wonderful love of God, the goodness of God. Would you join me now as we stand and sing this worship song? Let us pray. God, we thank you for how great and how deep your love is for us. How wonderful, how overwhelming. We can't help but sing your praise. So God, we ask that your Holy Spirit would continue to come and dwell with us, that your love would just overwhelm, that we might be so aware of your love for each of us individually that we can't help but respond. So come, Lord Jesus, we pray this in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So the love that structures the inner life of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, never ending, making space for the other, mutual love, mutual service, mutual affection, the agape love of God. This then becomes our pattern to order our Christian lives. And just like any virtue or any portion of our character, this takes time. This takes time to develop. A virtue that takes time to grow into, and maybe even a lifetime to perfect. For our process of salvation is a lifetime journey that we work out with fear and trembling. A lifetime of growing toward perfection in God. To grow in God's love and grace, to be transformed, to then participate in this inner life of God. And only then may we be overwhelmed that we might learn to extend that same love of God to others. A lifetime of learning and forgiveness and grace and growth. The word from our passage from John 15, which I think really captures this kind of love that has developed over time, is abide. Abide. Abide in my love, the passage says. Abide in me and I in you, and you will bear much fruit. Abide in me. This is not a word that I use very often in like everyday speak. I don't know if you do. But the first definition that came to my mind when we think about the word abide is to follow or to conform to a set of rules, to accept without objection, to abide by the law. Hopefully we do that most days. We abide by the law, the list of instructions. And this is fitting for our purposes for today. In verse 10, Jesus says, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." In verse 12, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." So in order to abide in God, we keep the commandment, and the commandment is to love. This feels kind of cyclical, right? Just... to dwell in love, to love as Jesus has loved. That is, to have concern for others, to not demand or subordinate as less than anyone else, to allow genuine space for another to be, to work for the good of another. This love is not possessive, and it gives without reserve, just like we see within God. But there's a second definition. Abide can also mean to tolerate or to bear patiently. It can mean to endure without yielding, to withstand. And I think this definition also applies for our purposes today, because in order to develop this theological virtue of love over time, we must abide in God over time. We must endure. We must withstand. And here's the key in our passage. How do we do this? We do this through friendship. Friendship with God. This is the most amazing part to me, is that in order to abide with God, we must be friends with God. Jesus says, "I no longer call you my servants," or more strongly in other translations, "my slaves. I no longer call you my slaves, but I call you my friends." Now, it's important to note that slaves or servants in the ancient world doesn't carry quite the same connotation as our American historical context. It was a little bit different. If you were a slave in a good household with a good master, it carried some level of dignity and respect, but it was still a status nowhere near that of a friend. A slave would serve their master out of obligation and duty, but a friend helps another friend out of mutual love and affection. It's the difference between serving out of obligation and serving out of love or affection. I think it's a good time maybe to pause and ask, you know, this is the type of friendship that God invites us into, and that we would serve out of the abundance of this love. But sometimes, unfortunately, you know, we might not always feel that affection. And so I think it's a good time. I want to give you permission that if you are serving here at Revolution Church in some way or capacity, and it has begun to feel like obligation and not affection, if it's not a way that is life-giving to you and joyful for you out of an abundance of God's love for you, come and talk to me, because I'd love to get you plugged in the right seat. I'd love to get you plugged in the right area of leadership and service that is life-giving and overflowing, so that we may all serve out of love and not that sense of duty or obligation. But God invites us into this kind of friendship of mutual support, of mutual love that exists, of course, within Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to abide, to be friends, to bear patiently with God, to endure without yielding, to journey with God over the course of a year. And that is through every season of life. I think I have lost track of the number of times people have asked me, but how? You know, I just don't feel close to God in this season. You know, to endure with God over the long haul. I mean, we all know that we go through seasons, those spiritual highs or maybe those valleys, and there are seasons where we just don't feel close to God. And yet if we know that God is ever present and omnipotent and all around, and if we know that we can experience God in and through all things, how is it that we remain connected to that source? How is it that we abide? Well, I think if we jump to 1 John 4, it might help, because God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. We abide with God through love. Not just of God, but of each other, love for one another. I can tell you the times that I have considered someone else's needs before my own, the times that I have considered the needs of my neighbor, that I've worked for the good of my neighbor who is in pain or struggling. At times when I have made space to welcome or accommodate someone else, if we have eyes to see, it's in those moments that we have experienced the power and presence of God. It's in those moments that we can abide with God because we've seen Christ in the other. If we have eyes to see it, we abide in God's love by loving others. So you may be wondering this morning, really, just a lesson? This is a teaching on God's love? Like, it's pretty simple. Is that really where we are? You know, and aren't we past that? And I hope so. But I think as Christians, it is never the wrong time to remind ourselves of what this theological virtue and nature of love looks like and what it is that God requires for us, especially at the end of another year, and especially in a year where we're going to enter 2020. And if you thought things were tense now, right, just wait. To another, it feels like 2016 never ended, right? You know, all of the tension, all of the division, and here we go again, it's already started. It'll be more important, that's probably an overstatement, but it'll be as important as ever to remember who we are in God and what it is that God requires of us. A love that is beyond mere infatuation or sentiment or euphoria, but a discipline of love and of care and concern and endurance. Why? Because I believe the witness of Jesus Christ is at stake. In our time and in our place, where so many of our Christian brothers and sisters are adding to the rhetoric of hate, adding to this rhetoric of fear, seeming to put their own gain ahead of the needs of their neighbors, seeming to act and live in a way that only promotes their own self-interest and protects their privilege and refuses to acknowledge the pain of the other, it is more important than ever that we remember that we are witnesses of God's love and mercy in the world. And when people see us and know that we are followers of Christ, the witness of Jesus Christ is impacted. So the way that we speak, the way that we act, the way that we treat one another We cannot underestimate the power that we have in this world to be those barriers of love and of mercy, reflections of God, God's hands and feet, because the witness of Jesus Christ is at stake. I saw this article on NPR over the weekend, and it was entitled this, "People Can't Even Agree on When the Decade Ends." Did you know this? This was brand new information for me. It really was. Apparently, there's a team zero and a team one. That is, of course, two sides. That is, people who believe that the new decade will start this Wednesday, right? January 1, 2020. Someone say wrong. Wrongo. And people that believe it won't start until January 1, 2021. Okay, you scholarly bunch over here, right? So 64% of Americans that were polled, minus Vance, they thought that the new decade, yeah, everybody culturally believes that it's going to start this week. 20% of the people don't know, or maybe they don't care. The other 20% said, no, it's starting 2021. And this has to do with how we define and mark a decade and mark time, right? If a decade is any 10 years, there was no year zero, the beginning of time, BCE, CE. We start with one. So 10 years would be year one to 10. That's the decade. But we culturally define a decade according to zero to nine, you know, trends and fashion and whatever. Okay, but here's the most telling part of the whole article. It said this, "This is one of those situations where no matter what side you're on, you're probably going to get into a bar fight." Like, are you kidding? There are a lot of things that I'd like go to the mat for, right? Or like fight for. I'm not sure it's over when the decade ends. I don't think so. But if this is not the saddest commentary on the state of our world, that we have chosen division and argument and debate and that hateful rhetoric over dialogue and love. And it's not about agreeing, it's about loving. Loving through the disagreement. Loving, even though we might not think the same, as John Wesley says, can we not love the same? Even in the body of Christ, I think that speaks first to us. Though we might not think the same, can we not love the same? Can we not just jump to conclusions and judgments about someone just because of one certain way they think or one certain way they vote? Can we not love? It is more important than ever that we model ourselves after this love of Christ from a position of friendship with God, a friend that endures. We all can think of a good friend that we've had that's been with us through it, through thick and thin. Good friends endure, and God invites us to be his friends. Holding fast to this reminder that if anyone says, "I love God," and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. I like to skip over that verse, I'll be honest. But if you sit in that for a minute, we cannot say that we love God. We cannot claim to be followers of Jesus Christ unless our lives are marked by his love, by the love of Jesus. So as we look to 2020, maybe our focus word can be abide. Maybe that can be our goal. Maybe that can be what grounds us. No one is perfect. We've all made mistakes. We've all messed up. We've all fallen short. But as we look for 2020, may we look for opportunities to dwell in the love of God, that is, love other people. May we look for opportunities to abide, to withstand, recommitting ourselves even this morning to this friendship with Christ so that our lives and our witness might be marked by the love of Jesus the Christ. And so as has become something that we've done as a church in years past, the last Sunday of this year, that we might enter into this time of confession and rededication as we follow together renewing our covenant with Jesus as our Lord and Savior. I can't help but think that we've been inspired this morning by Aria, who comes at her age to claim these truths for her life, that yes, Jesus is Lord, yes, God loves me, and here I will serve him. And so as we look to 2020, I want to invite you into this time as we seek confession, as we seek forgiveness, and as we covenant together. So I'm going to pray, beginning with a time of silence for you, that you might confess whatever you need to from 2019. And then I'll lead us in this prayer as we come to renew our covenant this morning. Let us pray. God, we thank you that your grace is sufficient for us. That even though we mess up, even though we fall short, even though we have failed sometimes to be an obedient church, even though we have broken your law of love, we've not always heard the cries of the needy. God, we thank you that we can come before you this morning and lay all of that down before you, that we can lay our burdens down, be forgiven, and be renewed, so that we might refocus ourselves on your goodness and mercy and love in the new year. So forgive us, Lord, we pray, and Holy Spirit, draw near to us, that we might be so aware of the opportunities that you lay before us to abide with you through all seasons of this next year. Because we know when we abide in you and you abide in us, we will bear much fruit for the kingdom of heaven. So I invite you now into this time of this prayer, and I'm going to read and invite you to read along as we covenant together. The words will be in yellow for you to respond. But commit yourselves to Christ as his servants. Give yourselves to him that you may belong to him. Christ has many services to be done. Some are more easy and honorable. Others are more difficult and disgraceful. Some are suitable to our inclinations and interests. Others are contrary to both. And some, we may please Christ and please ourselves, but then there are other works where we cannot please Christ except by denying ourselves. It is necessary, therefore, that we consider what it means to be a servant or friend of Christ. Let us therefore go to Christ and pray these words together. Let me be your servant under your command. I will no longer be my own. I will give up myself to your will in all things. Lord, make me what you will. I put myself fully into your hands. Put me to doing, put me to suffering. Let me be employed for you or laid aside for you. Let me be full, let me be empty. Let me have all things, let me have nothing. I freely, willing heart, give it all to your pleasure and disposal. To make this covenant a reality in your life, listen to these admonitions. First, set apart some time more than once to be spent alone before the Lord and seeking earnestly God's special assistance and gracious acceptance of you. In careful thinking through all the conditions of the covenant and searching your hearts, whether you have already freely given your life to Christ, consider what your sins are. Consider the laws of Christ, how holy, strict, and spiritual they are, and whether you, after having carefully considered them, are willing to choose them all. Be sure you are clear in these matters. See that you do not lie to God. Second, be serious and in a spirit of holy awe and reverence. Third, claim God's covenant. Rely upon God's promise of giving grace and strength so you can keep your promise. And trust not your own strength and power. Fourth, resolve to be faithful. You have given to the Lord your hearts, you have opened your mouths to the Lord, and you have dedicated yourself to God. With God's power, never go back. And last, be then prepared to renew your covenant with the Lord. Open your hearts to the Lord as we pray together. O righteous God, for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, forgive my unfaithfulness in not having done your will, for you have promised mercy to me if I turn to you with my whole heart. God requires that you shall put away all your idols. I hear from the bottom of my heart, renounce them all. covenanting with you that no known sin shall be allowed in my life. Against your will, I have turned my love toward the world. In your power, I will watch all temptations that will lead me away from you. For my own righteousness is riddled with sin, unable to stand before you. Through Christ, God has offered to be with your God again, to be your God again, if you would let him. Before all heaven and earth, I here acknowledge you as my Lord and God. I take you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for my portion, and vow to give up myself, body and soul, as your servant, to serve you in holiness and righteousness all the days of my life. Christ has told you that you must suffer with him. I do here a covenant with you, O Christ, to take my lot with you as it may fall. Through your grace, I promise that neither life nor death shall part me from you. God has given holy laws as the rule of your life. I do here willingly put my neck under your yoke to carry your burden. All your laws are holy, just, and good. I therefore take them as the rule for my words, thoughts, and actions, promising that I will strive to order my whole life according to your direction and not allow myself to neglect anything I know to be my duty. Glory be to you, O God the Son. You have loved me and washed me from my sins in your own blood, and now is my Savior and Redeemer. Glory be to you, O God the Holy Spirit, who by your all right power have turned my heart from sin to God. O mighty God, the Lord omnipotent, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you have now become my covenant friend. And I, through your infinite grace, have become your covenant servant. So be it. And let the covenant I have made on earth be ratified in heaven. Amen. Every Sunday that we come to approach this table, we are given the grace and the power and strength that we need to abide, to endure in our covenant. We go through that process of confession and of forgiveness, and then we come with our hands open, ready to receive. And we remember each time we celebrate this, that night when Jesus took a loaf of bread, he gave thanks to his God, and he broke the bread, and he gave it to his disciples, who were his friends. And he said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And on that same night, before he was given up, he took a cup, a common cup, and he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Take, drink from this, all of you. This is my cup of the new covenant that's been poured out for you and for many, for the forgiveness of your sins. Do this as often as you do it, drink from it in remembrance of me." And so, God, we ask that your Holy Spirit would be poured out on these gifts of bread and cup, that they may truly be for us the body and blood of Christ, so that we might be for the world redeemed in your hands and feet in love and service to a world in such desperate need. By your Spirit, make us one with you. Make us one with each other. Bind us together in your love, so that we might be one in love and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. And we pray all these things in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Oh, well, friends, it is always a joy to be with you all in worship. Our next series for January starts next week, Braving the Wilderness. As we are in 2020 and look into what God has in store for us then, I'm very excited. Hope you'll make plans to be back here with our new series in Exodus. It's going to be great. It's going to be great. I hope that you have a wonderful week. Happy New Year. I am praying for you to go in the peace and friendship of Christ, and let's be the revolution. Amen.